We get it underway by welcoming back to the show an actress you know from her work over several seasons of Newhart, nominated for an Emmy every year. She was on the show for her unforgettable role as Stephanie Vanderkellen. She's appeared in series like Designing Women, Shameless, and makes a very memorable guest appearance on the Showtime series Black Monday. We're pleased to be joined by Julia Duffy. Well, thank you so much for spending a little time with us today, Julia. Good to talk with you again.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
I loved your performance. I had not seen any of Black Monday until I watched last night, but now I think I need to go back and get caught up. Wow, what a terrific series. Yeah.
You do need to get caught up. I had never seen the show. I didn't even know the show existed. I guess I didn't have Showtime for a while. And so you don't know if you don't have that particular service. I don't know how I missed it because it's full of actors I adore. So I was cast very quickly. Well, it was very quick because I had to fly back from New York. So there was no time to do anything. But I was pretty sure I got the tone of it by going online and looking at clips and things. So I was all done with the job when I finally started watching it. And now I'm binging it and completely addicted.
Well, Maxine Blackmore, a very interesting woman. How would you describe her approach to her business dealings?
Well, I had a whole thing in my head, which I talked to the producers about, and then I joked, can you tell the difference in my subtext? But to me, the reason she took such good care of her husband is that it would be very bad for the NASDAQ if he died. So that was my subtext, that she was all about money and protecting it.
Well, it was great to see Bronson Pinchot as well. I had no idea he was doing it. A very fun part for him, obviously, there. But, boy, everybody, top to bottom. Of course, Don Cheadle is fantastic, but just such a deep roster of talent on this show.
I know. And when you watch the show in the first season, it's so incredibly wacky and out there. Because they have these, well, this whole group of people that I sort of call the rustics, like in Shakespeare, you know, the mechanicals.
The rude mechanicals
who are doing coke and work at the trading company. And then you have the four leads, I guess you'd say, five leads. And they're just as out there. But somehow these actors make you care about them amidst all this craziness and the way they're acting and the double crossing and triple crossing, but they're all actually, you find out, so unsure of themselves in a way. And Andrew's character changes entirely because he winds up being so much smarter than you think. And I mean, from the first episode, Don's character to me was, well, what I got was that the guy was an absolute asshole, but didn't want to be. He just didn't know how else to present himself. And to me, the character studies are fascinating.
You mentioned Don Cheadle's character, and even just within last night's episode, there was a depth there that I didn't expect the way the show began.
You know, I don't think he can do anything without depth. Mm. I think he just is a person of such substance. When you meet him, he emanates presence. I can't put it any other way. He fascinates me, always has, as an actor. And it's unbelievable what he does with this role. I really can't get over it, all of them.
And I don't want to give any spoilers away because the episode just aired last night, so plenty of time for people to get caught up. But let's just say your character makes a dramatic exit at the end of the episode.
Yes, it is very dramatic. And some of that, I had to make all kinds of noises in looping to cover. Yes. And so I don't know if it's over or not. It's hard to tell. They said something to me like, you know, we might see you again or something cryptic as I left the set for the last time. But it was very interesting because my husband is a trader. I mean, an individual trader. So I was getting his help. And I was passing some of his suggestions along to people on the set, how to pronounce things and what they mean, that kind of thing.
Well, and it captures a moment in time, too, very well, right from the opening.
it's such a great idea, isn't it, to say this is what caused Black Monday and to get your attention right from the start. Mm. And then you start to meet all the peoples who seem so inept, but their manipulations and some accidental and some on purpose wind up causing Black Monday. It's that first season is fascinating. It's a countdown to Black Monday.
We're talking with Julia Duffy here on Downtown. Her role in Black Monday aired last night on Showtime, but you can get caught up on the whole thing. What was it like for you being back to work still in the time of COVID?
Well, it was. I have to hand it to everybody who runs a very COVID compliant set. I don't know that they're all that compliant from what I've heard, but this one was extremely strict. And just think about the fact that people have to all get tested at certain times, like every 2 days or something. And then they have to make up a daily schedule having to do with who got tested when and put that in the schedule. And they can't call the actors until they have their test results or anybody on the crew. It's a logistical problem that must require a spreadsheet of epic proportions. But they were very compliant. If I stepped off the set and because my mask was off when I was working, there was a mask shoved in my face immediately by somebody.
Well, what's it like out there now for actors as things open up? But it's certainly not back to where it was. And who knows how long it will be as this variant begins to rise up in places. But what's the landscape like out there for actors?
Well, I think that self-tapes, which were already becoming a very big thing, are now here to stay, which is fine with me. A lot of actors hate them, and I do understand why they hate them. On the other hand, I like the control that it gives you, so I'm fine with it. But now when there are callbacks, since they still don't do those in person, they're on Zoom. And let me tell you, a Zoom audition is not for the faint of heart. It doesn't work very well at all. Well, I'm sure you're very familiar with all of the foibles of Zoom. It's not audition friendly.
You could have a whole new chapter in your book, Bad Auditions, on the Zoom experience.
I should probably rewrite the whole book, because even since I wrote it, which was probably 5 years ago when I started writing it, the business has changed so much that it would be a different book now.
It was so great to see you and Bob and all the guys together on the New Heart reunion back, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago. We had Sanderson on, but everybody looked great and sounded great. And that chemistry is, even over Zoom, still there.
And what was amazing is that Bob is still so quick. I mean, he's going to turn, is it 95? Or
I think 92 is next birthday, I believe.
No, I can't remember now. I know when his birthday is, but it's in September. Anyway, he was just so sharp on that Zoom, and I was very impressed. I email with him sometimes, and he's just as sharp and teases me just as much as ever, or I am or something. But I was impressed to see him in person be so quick.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And we've talked about it before, but you added so much to the series when you came aboard in season two. Now, you were nominated for an Emmy every single year you were on the show. Who do we need to go take out? Because who's winning those Emmys, if not you?
I know. Well, thank you. Who do we need to take out? Maybe just the way voting was. I think I'm not an expert here, but I think the voting might be a bit more... I don't want to use the word valid, but more substantial now because of people having the screeners.
Right.
Because it used to be you had to watch the final nominees in person, and they were lucky to get 10, 12 people to show up that day to watch the final ones, which you have to sit and watch all in a row. And it's just not a cross section, you know, of the voting populace.
I don't know that we've ever talked with you about this, Julia, but I had a period in my life when I think I was in college, or maybe just out of college, or maybe had taken a break from college, when I used to watch a lot of daytime dramas, including The Doctors.
Oh, my.
And you had a long run. And we've talked to so many people through the year, Bryan Cranston, John O'Hurley, and others who worked in those daytime time dramas, and it was a great proving ground for actors. So was it a little easier having had stage experience?
Well, I'd say a soap opera is sort of its own animal, because you work so fast. The hard part about it is that you're never satisfied because it's just too fast. Everything is like your first take and you have barely had time to learn your lines. But I think it does make you brave. And I also think working on stage makes you brave.
You had a great run on Designing Women as well. As a matter of fact, it bears mention that the highest ratings for that series were the season when you were a member of the cast.
Well, I'd love to take all the credit, but there was a lot of publicity surrounding the show at the time, and two new cast members came on. It was the year of the presidential nomination. The Clintons were becoming a big thing. A lot of the politics were infused into the show that year. So there was a lot of reason to be able to promote the show that year, even just besides the two cast additions.
You've worked with so many talented ensembles and been a key part of them. Can you talk a little bit about the experience of being on Shameless?
Oh, God, Shameless. That to me was like guerrilla filmmaking. I had never worked with handheld cameras to that extent, and I finally just gave up because, usually you know where the camera is so that you're playing to the camera and seen on camera. I couldn't even keep track. I mean, sometimes they were just sort of kneeling next to me and I didn't know where the shot was. But, oh my God, the actors were so good. Those kids, those kids just dominated that show all by themselves. I was very impressed with all of them. And then the young man who played my son was so good. And it was a great character.
Are we finally seeing, maybe with all the additional opportunities that are out there with streaming services now, it's not where it needs to be, but are we finally seeing more decent roles out there for adult women? For the longest time, if you were 35, you were playing somebody's mother or grandmother, and if you were over 50, forget about it. But it seems like now that there are more opportunities out there.
Well, I think there's just so much more production because of all the streaming channels and the fact that this is TV's incredible golden age. And having that many more productions, especially miniseries and big budgets, so you have large casts. So yeah, usually there's a mom, which is nice. Somebody's mom or, grandma. We're going in that direction too.
Do you have any stage work coming up in the future?
Well, stage is very slow to come back, of course. So I wouldn't even know. I mean, there's very few things announced as far as theater, regional theater. And a lot of things were already in the works for one-person shows and that kind of thing so that the theaters could continue. But I'm hoping there will be a flurry of it soon.
I sure hope so. Yeah, we're seeing some things open up here in the Northeast, but not, I think it's going to be well into the fall or early winter before we start seeing, and even then it'll be smaller cast shows and I don't even think full audiences until the turn of the new year.
Right. I don't really expect theater auditions to come along until 2022. That's the hardest part because that's really where a lot of the best roles are for someone my age. And I love doing it. And I am bi-coastal, so I spend a lot of time in New York. And I really hope it will come back full force, but I just have to be patient.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Hope you get to Boston, too. I miss seeing you when you did Guess Who's Coming to Dinner at the Huntington. That must have been wonderful.
It was really a wonderful show, and people kept saying, it's so weird. Like, how can that be a play? And honestly, I think because the movie was such a vehicle for Tracy and Hepburn, that the rest of it sort of got short shrift, what it was really about. And what was interesting is that doing it in play version, stage version, without the Tracy Hepburn thing happening, you really saw what it was about. And I have to tell you, every night the audience stood up. I mean, just like a screaming, pounding, standing ovation. It's so moving.
You are such a wonderful presence on Twitter as well. Matter of fact, I think you directed me to somebody I started following recently who's wonderful out there, Ken Reed.
Oh, Ken, how do you not know each other? You have to know each other, of course.
Well, I follow him now because you suggested, and he's wonderful.
You have to podcast each other.
What does that does provide us all with an outlet of sorts. It can be a cesspool out there at times on social media, but overall, what do you get out of it? What do you like to put into it?
Well, I think Twitter is wonderful, but I don't engage with controversial things. And I'm not someone who is made an example of ever. You know, people just don't pay that much attention to me, which is great. For me, it has been, especially during quarantine, I have seen so much kindness from people. I have seen so much help and guidance within our industry. The most wonderful people, Jeffrey Lieber, Ed Solomon, Warren Leight, who's the showrunner of Law & Order, reaching out to actors and writers. And I like the idea that they sort of are bypassing the gatekeepers and paying attention to each other and their needs and helping other, you know, people with their careers. People who are famous are very helping other people who are struggling. It's quite something to see. So I find it very gratifying and heartwarming. And I know people don't say that about Twitter, but my Twitter feed is, and it allows me to be in touch with a lot of people from my past, because a lot of my career took place before the internet and before email. Keeping in touch with people just didn't really happen, even though you had this intense experience working with them.
Right.
It was hard to have it continue. For instance, yesterday I was texting for a while with Andrew Rannells because we bonded on the set. But before that wouldn't have remained, you know, before the internet and texting and Twitter.
Well, it's good to see some positives out there. And I find that, too. And I think it's in the way I curate my feed that I like positive people when I can. I like dealing with them and joking around with people and comparing things we have in common and try to do that more than find the things that divide us, which is often the coin of the realm there.
Yes. And I think one of the greatest things that I saw, and it became a very big thing during quarantine, is that all kinds of celebrities, especially comedians, interestingly, talked about their struggles with mental illness. And having had that affect our family, it is so invaluable, I can't tell you, for people to realize, the people who are struggling, that they aren't abnormal, that it's almost common, accomplishes so much. And it helps the family so much to know that their loved ones are getting that message from the universe much better than they could get from them or their own therapist, that all of these people are doing it. It's becoming a thing now. And without Twitter, Twitter is especially doing that. It has, I think, made a huge difference and will continue to.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Julia, you were absolutely wonderful on Black Monday. I don't know that anybody could have said you look like a whore with the level of certitude that you did.
Well, they wrote some very funny dialogue, and Akilah Green, whose script it was she was the loveliest person. Now I follow her on Twitter. So it's very fun. Every time I work, I get to expand my universe because of Twitter.
Well, be sure and check out Julia on Black Monday on Showtime. Julia, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome, Rich. I'm glad to be here, and I'll see you on Twitter.